Welcome to Deep Dive into Water Safety on KKCR. Today we are talking with Drasko Bogdanovic, an ocean lifeguard, flight paramedic, and founder of the Lifeguard Project, which is changing how the world sees lifeguards. Through photography, interviews, and global collaborations, Drasko brings forward the real stories behind the profession, the training, the rescues, the trauma, and the commitment to saving lives. He's helping drive a worldwide conversation about drowning prevention and the critical role lifeguards play in community safety. Welcome, Drasko. I heard about you from many lifeguards here on Kauai that I had to get you on to our show, Deep Dive into Water Safety, and I've been hounding you for months, and you're a very busy person. Your work is phenomenal. I've looked on your website and I've told everybody you don't just do a podcast interviewing and educating about what lifeguards do. You do just phenomenal photography. And on top of that, you are a writer and you did something called Red Isn't Armor, which I was really impressed with. And we'll talk about that. So thank you for coming on. And I got you on a Saturday, and that's
Thanks
amazing.
for having me, Margaret. Thanks so much. I'm stoked to be able to do this.
Yeah, I think if we keep amplifying the message here, we'll get everything moving forward. It takes a while, but your work is
100%.
tremendous. So tell me about you and how you got started with the Ben Carlson Foundation and who you are.
Absolutely. And I'll have to have you send me that intro you just did because that made me sound way cooler than I am. So wherever you got that, make
That
sure to
is not true.
forward it to me. But yeah, no, I started, I've been doing the Lifeguard Project for a while, and it's funny, a lot of the guards that stick around have a similar story like me, where they started when they were 16. It happened kind of randomly. Where literally someone asked me to come do a tryout, like, just try out, see what happens. And then here I am, what are we now, 16 years later. Lifeguarding was kind of my initial gateway into the EMS and public safety world. And it just, from there on, I, did like the standard path, took an EMT class, worked on an ambulance, worked as a paramedic. Started teaching lifeguards in our lifeguard trainings, and then all the way now to where I've been working as a flight paramedic out in California. But all of that stuff, while doing the actual physical job and everything, on the side, I saw the gap of, hey, no one understands what lifeguards are doing, and why is that? And here I am, by myself running a CPR call in the middle of the water down by the cliffs where there's no one else around. And, doing what an entire, fire department or something crew would be managing on like a freeway or something with radios and all these different things. And just the basics and the expectations of what lifeguards are expected to do is not well translated to the public, right? There's very little media that specifically explains that, and traditionally the other public safety roles have done a better job at explaining that. And so that's where all that kind of came in on the side, as I call it, for doing the Lifeguard Project, with media, with photography, with writing, to get that message out there a little more, and advocate for lifeguards. And then subsequently, if you're talking about lifeguarding, you're also talking about drowning prevention, like, simultaneously, right?
So, how does this fit into the Ben Carlson Foundation? Tell me the story there.
Yeah, so Ben Carlson was a Newport Beach lifeguard who died in the line of duty making a rescue on a large swell day in Newport Beach. And I mean, they literally have the last, footage of him jumping off the back of a rescue boat, grabbing a victim. The victim came up and he didn't. After they went over the falls of a large set. In the light of that, afterwards, created what was the Ben Carlson Foundation, which gives scholarships to lifeguards and advocate for water safety. And they have, as part of their major pillars of what they kind of help out, they give out, for lifeguards going to college or other things. They're involved with the California Water Safety Coalition. And they're just really taking some good action on raising money, and actually putting it into things that are benefiting lifeguards and articulating those things. So that's how we got connected. They saw the project that I was working on, and the collaboration was just natural. And so we work together on a lot of this, these projects and media stuff.
Well, I think collaboration is the real key. Since we
Always.
started this show 6 months ago, we've been just following the Hawaii Water Safety Plan and amplifying that we have the second highest drowning rate in the country. Our visitors are drowning. Snorkeling is the major issue for them. And our kids 1 to 15, and specifically Pacific Islanders that was identified by a young person in research here. So, as Dwayne DeSoto, and I don't know if you've met him, is a real leader here, has said we have just really just ignored and neglected our youth. And at the same time, our water safety plan says we have elite lifeguards. So why is this happening? Why do we have such a high drowning rate if we have such elite athletes? So I've been interviewing people all over. And the message is very clear that drowning is preventable. And that, as you say, lifeguards should be first responders. And I think it's moving in that direction from what I hear and what I've talked to you in the past about the United States Lifeguard Association coming up with, I guess, a proposal or something that would become legislation that they would hope to become legislation about first responders. Because as you say, there's a misconception about what they do, the Baywatch watch myth. So maybe you could talk
Yeah.
about that a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right? What we're dealing with here is a universal global issue. Last time I checked, nobody can breathe underwater without scuba equipment, right? And water is surrounding, all the places where coastal communities exist. There's people unfortunately succumbing to drowning. And there's, you can, if you're, smoking your whole life and you have a heart attack or you're eating bad food or all these things that are kind of long term, we kind of understand. But the fact that, and the things you were saying, like that kids are mostly affected by it, right? Per the data, depending on where you look, that it's 100% preventable if we just open up a little awareness. And I love the point you brought up of, hey, we have some of the best lifeguards in the world here because some of the gnarliest conditions in Hawaii. So where's the disconnect? Well, the lifeguards can't do it all by themselves, especially if no one listens to them or no one understands what they're trying to articulate, right? So there's, generally speaking, for this universal thing that people understand that the water can be dangerous, and the reason we come to the water is to enjoy it, but we don't heed the warning of the lifeguards or the understanding that there's a gap there. And so I think the question is, how do we address that gap? And look, I've been kind of going down that road for years now with the Lifeguard Project, and the hardest part is that gap looks different everywhere you go, and it's very complex and multifaceted. So what works in Hawaii might not work in California, might not work on the East Coast, right? And vice versa, there might be different messaging or different ways to attack the problem. But as a global option, for me, the direction I've taken with the Lifeguard Project is exactly that. There has to be a melding and kind of cross-pollination between the lifeguards, the media and the public education, and the collaboration of the cities and the departments. And you have to bring everyone together under the same understanding to make an actionable thing happen. That actionable thing, whether it's a public safety video or a sign or whatever, has to be, this is where I kind of bring in my, because I do a lot of teaching at the medic programs and instruct lifeguards and all stuff. So I bring my like educator's hat on for this. If the public members are my students and I'm the lifeguard, how do I affect today a specific message for them to understand, for example, what a rip current looks like, or that the shore break is dangerous today and it wasn't yesterday, or that, hey, if you're going snorkeling with the wrong equipment, you might mess this part up. And it's complex and it's always changing, right? And so that's the part that I've been trying to tackle is that gap specifically. But that takes bringing in a lot of people to be on the same page, them to also understand the more subtle points of drowning and water safety, and then everyone to disseminate that appropriately. And guess what? The other part of that is also funding, right? None of this comes for free. Everyone's got their day job is not usually drowning prevention. It's always something that's kind of on the side, and it's not something that makes your city money, right?
Right.
And the example I use when I talk about some of this stuff too is if lifeguards do their job correctly, and let's say the cities, all the stuff I'm talking about, collaboration, if everyone did their job correctly and made the best video and everyone listened to them, and let's say in a perfect world scenario, the problem becomes that everyone goes to the beach, no one dies, everyone leaves happy, so they think nothing happened, right? And so now you actually have it's a contradictory thing where you do everything right, you actually have nothing to show for it. And so that's the problem, where now how do you articulate that to show the value and to show that you're actually making an impact if you have no data to show, well, no one drowned at the beach today, went and they came happy, right?
You
So
just brought up some very good points. Okay. You're saying lifeguards, media, and cities, or, whatever, need to work together to have actionable things, and you're educating your groups, right? But if you
correct.
don't have the data, and that's one of the other issues that was brought up by Alyssa Magrum, who runs the
Absolutely.
National Drowning Prevention Alliance, of which there's a conference in Colorado in February, right? And they're highlighting California and Hawaii's water safety plans. And she
Cool.
said, if we don't have data, if we don't have a way to collect that data, we have no idea. And the person that we know, Semstrat, Dr. Semstrat, you and I both
Yes.
know, and that's how we connected, was excellent on our show talking about drowning. It's a process. And so we can say we have, I don't know, 26 drownings this year. Well, how many drownings did we really have? Incidents, people that didn't actually die, right? Maybe 1,000. And nobody wants that. Our tourism authority board doesn't want people knowing you're coming to Hanalei and we have 1,000 drownings a year. So that's the
Sure.
other piece, getting people to understand that you need to give people information so they can make right choices. And we had this with snorkeling because there's been some research that says if you use a full mask while snorkeling and you've traveled a long distance and your health may be compromised, you should wait a couple of days before you snorkel. And everybody's afraid to put that out. It's kind of like smoking. Well, we didn't want to put on here that it may cause cancer. It took a long time.
Sure.
They're being sued right now because the suit states, if you had just given us this information, we would have made our choice. We would have said, okay, I have that information, but I'm making my own choice to go in the ocean and snorkel with that kind of face mask, right after I got off the plane. So
Yeah.
those
And
are the
perfect
challenges.
example of a specific way, and what a, I mean, you, then you're targeting just a really niche portion, and people are doing all sorts of water activity in Hawaii, right? So how do you, how many videos do you need? All these things, like
Right.
it's like a Pandora's box, and yeah, like you said, the catch 22 simultaneously of, well, we don't have, we don't have the stuff to track the data, so we don't have the data. But if we don't have the data, we can't make the stuff to track the stuff, right? Like, and it all goes back full circle. And so I guess it all seems daunting at a certain point. And I've gone through this periodically where I look at it and I go, oh man, there's just so much here to unfold. But the thing that I've found is like finding like someone like yourself, you find the people that are motivated and passionate about taking the first step, right? And making one small change. So I've been doing little videos highlighting little things, and I have bigger projects on the horizon. But I think the point is, when we have all these things we bring up, it seems daunting and it seems negative, but you can explain and articulate it. Whatever entity is in charge of it, let's say it's a hotel and they have some beachfront in front of them, or the city or the county, or the a local business, whatever, that wants to help, wherever you find those passionate people that want to make a change, let's make it there, and then those baby steps will build on each other so we can bring that awareness up. And my question to people is always, hey, cool, this happened, this is the problem, whatever. What's your first actionable? Like, let's put a tangible thing out there to make a difference. Let's not just talk about it and complain. Let's make something on the other side of this conversation that becomes an actionable that could be, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but something to start the process, right?
That's
And
exactly right.
that's been kind of keeping me going, where it's like, okay, I'll start with this little video, I'll do this little thing, I'll advocate in this way, maybe one little Instagram post. And then slowly people are starting to see the value. Just like, whatever. It wasn't that long ago that we were giving people cigarettes for asthma, just like you said, right? Hey, it would be literally advertisements that say asthma
Exactly.
cigarette. Now we look back, it's silly. I'm hoping in the future we look back at drowning the same way, going, man, I can't believe we just had to do a couple of these things.
Right.
Now everyone understands it a little bit better. Just like, not to run a red light, right?
Yeah, it's layers of prevention, like wearing a seatbelt, which people in the
Exactly.
UK have told me. And I think the more we talk with different people from different countries, we get a better perspective of where we are, and they can learn from us. And I think when we had talked originally, and I told you about Bruce Hopkins and what he was doing in Australia, that nobody, everybody thinks we're wonderful swimmers here, but we're not. We've had a lot of new people coming into our country, and nobody understands rip currents. And from his experience, he felt actually, he gave you the example of going up and what's the word for going on a parachute? Anyway, not free diving, but. And he had to have that experience, and he read everything, and then he got up in the plane and he froze. And he said, I realized experience is really important to understand. And if you say stay calm in a rip, nobody understands that. But if you say float, that's an action word, like you're talking about actions. So he's been doing these rip current demonstrations. And since our conversation, he and Kalani Vieira, who's president of the Hawaii Lifeguard Association and head of Ocean Safety Bureau here in Kauai, they're going to collaborate and bring lifeguards from the entire Hawaii in to demonstrate that and what it feels like, and actually do a video telling people how it feels.
And that's exactly what you need, right? And still, someone won't understand that you could do the best video until they viscerally go in the water and experience a rip current, which, right, we can't suggest to someone, like, but that's the final step. The medium we're talking about here, which is water, and that experience is not taught. In the end, it's fundamentally not understood by PowerPoint or video or anything. You have to go in the water and understand what the feeling is, because nobody is stronger than the ocean. Not even the lifeguards, right? We just know how to navigate it a little bit better. But just like I was saying earlier with the Ben Carlson story, this is a medium to be respected, and lifeguards respected because they've usually been humbled by it in some way, shape, or form, and walked out alive on the other end, luckily. But for the public, there's not many chances. They're not spending the time to understand how quickly things can change into a bad rescue situation. Even a knee-high wave going up a steep beach, no one's stronger. It's going to trip you, you fall down, and now you're tumbling down the steepness into that washing machine, right? Whatever example you want to use, in the end, the ocean always wins. And to be understood, you have to have that data set or that experience of having been in there to finally respect it. Now, I can watch a video about, rock climbing and all this stuff, but until I'm actually doing it and my forearms are giving out and I think I'm about to fall, then it's too late. But I thought, as an example, right? So it always comes back to it's in the end, you gotta have all those layers in place from start to finish.
Right. And I think you're right. Baby steps. I had the
Yes.
Department of Education on yesterday on my live show. And what
Oh,
we've
cool.
been amplifying is we need water safety back in the schools. And so, as he said, and you have said here, he said, I'll come back on, Margaret, when we make that next baby step. And that's exactly right. It's
And
just.
same, I mean, look at the huge impact that just junior lifeguard programs have on disseminating that and building it. That's exactly what I'm talking about is the kids, once they learn and they get the experience and they go in the ocean, they start, that's what solidifies that safety aspect of being a strong swimmer, understanding what the ocean does, maybe getting a little humbled. And now you have someone who's resilient to understanding and not getting in trouble in the ocean because they experienced it, right? And that's exactly it. These aren't things that can be taught overnight, or just on a PowerPoint, like I said. But the education needs to be there, any way that we can.
Well, before I go into Red Isn't Armor, which I want to talk about, which is so good, we have something here where the DNLR had a task force, but it was in charge of signage on our beaches, right? This is a dangerous beast, whatever, but it hasn't been active. But the Hawaii Lifeguard Association is now taking it over, and they're going to put out more signs. But
I
when I
saw
talk,
some news on that, yeah.
okay, so. But when I talk to the guards, they'll say they put up a rip current sign and their people just go and swim anyway. They have to tell them not to. So.
So yeah, and I don't want to sound, for whoever's listening to this, I don't want to sound like negative or anything, but there's actual data and studies that show that people don't read signs. I'm not an expert on how stuff happens in Hawaii. I'm not an expert on any of these things. I just am collaborating with the experts. So this is by no means advice or me talking from a point of knowing everything. I just want to preface that by saying, however, I know when I go to the beach, I miss signs just naturally when I'm not on alert, right? And I'm going or wherever, a parking lot, and you go, oh man, I didn't see that was a trash sweeping day, and I parked and I got a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yes,
it's
yes.
just human nature. And so this is now we're touching on where I'm trying to change the gap of we reactivate the thing you're telling me it's being reactivated. Maybe someone's throwing funding, but the message itself has to be reworked. Otherwise, we're going to fall back to the same historical thing of stuff that hasn't worked. We
Yes.
live in a completely new world. I mean, you have people are on their phones 24/7. Here's the example, because I was in Hawaii the other day for a different reason.
Yes.
I got off the plane and I opened my Instagram, and after a few swipes, there's a very nice video of helicopter tours in Kauai. Weird. How did that end up on my phone, right? And not in a conspiracy way or anything, but someone is geotagging where I'm at on my phone and selling me an advertisement to go on a helicopter tour in Kauai. My question is, why can't that now be, hey, we've targeted you as someone in the demographic who's never been to Hawaii. You might be going to the water. Here's a public safety video that's well done that we show you, right? And so this is my point is putting up a sign, getting everyone to do all these hours. Well, what does the sign need to look like and all this stuff, but, and you put it for someone something that someone might not even read. It's a lot of wasted energy, potentially. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm just saying we have to reframe the problem. We have to rework the issue. And if I'm distracted by that advertisement on my phone when I'm walking past the safety sign I'm supposed to be reading.
Yes.
This is what we're dealing with. This is the modern world that we're dealing with. It's 2026. We've
Right.
got media. People are digesting media on a super high rate on their phones,
Yes.
on the computer. They're seeing the advertisements on the plane before they get there. Like, there are other more impactful ways to deliver that message if done correctly. But that's where people usually fall short, is we go back to these old methods. And we have to come and approach it in a modern way. And that's what I'm trying to, the creative side of this is making it fun, making it accessible, making it modernized so that people actually pay attention.
Well, tell me more about that because I really like that idea that you would get off your plane and something would pop up about a water safety video. How do you think we could do that? And could we
Well,
test that?
yeah, that was me talking out loud, right? I don't, if I had the answer, I'd be already doing it. But that's the problem is, right? These, we're dealing with bigger issues where an advertisement makes money. Putting out a public safety video on drowning doesn't make anybody any money. It costs money. So I don't know, at a basic issue, like I don't have the access to like put something into people's phones. But if you could, if this is my point on collaboration, if we could just activate the right people that are in the right places to make something like that happen. And once again, the video itself has to be good. You have to articulate everything that it's adequate to put out there and that it's getting to the right people. I just my challenge for hopefully whoever's listening is find a new creative and modern way to attack the issue. Don't spend time on something we've already done that we know that doesn't work. And this is a hard thing because a lot of us don't know. It's all new and uncharted territory. We don't know what works or doesn't too. So it's hard, like multi-layered, multifaceted, as we've been talking about.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I think I'll pursue that. We have talked about that in a KLA meeting, and somebody brought up the fact that we can't do that. We can't get on somebody's phone, but I think you're right. This is
Someone got on my
totally
phone. This is my
right.
point. Someone got on my phone to give me an advertisement of a helicopter tour in Hawaii. So how do we get like if there's a will, there's a way, right? And so how do we get, and it doesn't have to be like that. I mean, you get an Amber Alert, right? Of like, hey, missing person or stolen vehicle. Like there's ways that we can communicate that are more modern today than a sign that gets posted in the sand that's covered by foliage potentially. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just reworking. And I'm not saying that's the answer, but rework the issue, find a new creative way to make
Well, you
things happen.
said there's no money for this, but I'd have to back and say that every time somebody drowns, that's costing a lot of money, right?
Correct.
And so we know that. And we know that the World Health Organization has come out and said for, every $7 you're spending, on somebody, it's really making a difference because you could be spending, I don't know what the key numbers are because I don't have them, but it's pretty impressive that
Absolutely.
investment in safety, in water safety, will save, billions of dollars in the country. So,
Absolutely.
one life, saving one life. And that was brought up by the girls that she had said, the senior lifeguard that had worked 20 years said her most memorable rescue was saving this guy, a local guy, and she used her instincts and she got to him, saved him, and he came back the next day and gave her a big hug and said, "I didn't think I was going to see my 6-year-old son again." Right? And it really hit her because she had a 6-year-old son. And you can't put a price tag on saving a life.
Absolutely. And you took the words right out of my mouth. And we forget the lasting impact, even on something like you said, we were talking earlier about people traditionally consider drowning like you go in the water and you die, right? But drowning is respiratory impairment from submersion or immersion in a liquid. So you can actually drown and live and have either, morbidities or not from that. So that process of the people we don't capture, that's not a death check mark on the data set. We forget how impactful is the rest of the, I mean, there's also studies on that showing how the rest of their life is affected. They might not ever go in the water. They might go home and propose to their girlfriend because they thought that was it. Like that was my last chance. Like the lasting impact of what we do is truly unseen and unheard of. Once again, why I'm trying to put stories like that. That's why I have interviews like this on the podcast. I try to get images like this that showcase these actual rescues. Because guess what? When lifeguards are actually rescuing people and doing stuff, no one sees it. Now, yeah, you've got, the North Shore, let's say, of Hawaii has a bunch of professional videographers and surfers and stuff. So you get a little more out of that section because the cameras are always on the beach. But man, there are some crazy rescues that happen that no one ever hears about, that people are affected by for the rest of their life. And these are the stories we have to put out so people can understand that value. So when they see the lifeguard standing there and, in air quotes, doing nothing, just tanning and hanging out, they reframe what they think about lifeguards. And then maybe they listen and then they realize, hey, this is an important service. It's important to listen to them and value what they do. And here's the other thing, retaining those jobs, getting more people to do those jobs because they're paid more or they have benefits, which traditionally it's a seasonal job. It's pays less than someone at In-N-Out or Starbucks. any general restaurant, and that's kind of the problem is how do you keep these people, these lifeguards going?
Right. And they do a tremendous job here in Hawaii. Right now we're having North Shore swells, and the Ettiai Cow usually goes right now, and they're not sure if it is or not, probably not. But we've had 30, 40-foot swells here on Kauai. And it's constant. I mean, these people work, 12 months out of the year here in Kauai. And as you said, people go to the ocean, they don't read the signs because here they are, and people are here in this beautiful climate, really nice environment. The water's really warm and blue, and they're totally distracted by that and not being mindful or respectful of the ocean. But let's move into what you wrote. You don't have that in front of you, do you? Red Isn't Armor.
I don't have it directly in
I'd
front of
rather
me.
have you read it. I don't want to read it. It's your.
Well, I mean, there's no there. People can,
Okay.
you can put a link or people can go.
I will.
There's no point in me reading it on the interview here. We can just kind of
Okay.
discuss, I think.
All right. So storytelling to me is very important. And we pulled up a video that was on the airlines, Hawaiian Airlines, which we think we should have messaging on the airlines that they watch. And it hasn't happened for a long time. And I was able to identify one done by Brian Kehala, who is very famous on Makana as a world-class legend. And he did a very good video, and it was pretty much storytelling, how he learned from his father and about rescuing, what people should do. It was excellent. And I sent it to Kalani, and I thought, we shouldn't have to redo something. We should have the airlines actually have people watch that as they're filling out their form. Somebody also told me you had to fill out an agricultural form, correct? When you came into Hawaii, and it's on your phone that you did. So the idea is if you're filling that form out and you're talking about, on the internet, maybe before you can submit it, you have to watch a water safety piece before you submit it because everybody's doing it online. It's not paper forms anymore, correct?
And just I don't want to digress too
Yeah.
much here, but
Okay.
I think about like if I'm recording a podcast or doing something, I think about what would I fast forward through that's boring to me. And I try not to do it. And once again, probably not perfect, but like I try to be like I talk about actionables. I also try to make it realistic. Like the last thing I want to do when I'm about to get off a plane and go to Hawaii is one more step in the airport where everyone's already stressed out and doing stuff like
Correct.
are they truly going to pay attention? The idea I had, and please, anyone that wants to actually make this happen, please go for it. You pull up to the local beach. Your phone goes boop boop boop. Oh, hey, we see you're at whatever this beach in whatever location. Would you like free parking today? And you go, oh, okay, now just watch this. 2 minute safety video, and at the end you take a survey, your parking's free instead of paying at the meter. Oh, hold on now. I bet you everyone's gonna watch that video. And then you make the video targeted to the actual beach that they're at,
Yeah.
showing the safety of that beach instead of a sign. You go, hey, usually we have a rip and you can't cover because the beach is ever changing too once, another problem. But the basics, hey, during these hours, the lifeguard's not here. This beach is generally really steep. It's suggested you stay, 100 feet back when there's large swell. Here's what a large swell day looks like. Here's what a low swell day looks like. If you're entering the water, this section has rocks. Something basic and achievable in a place where someone's actually going to watch it. You track it, you get data on the back end,
Yeah.
and it incentivizes them with the free parking for the day, let's say, just as an idea.
Yeah.
Now they're going to watch the video. Now they're going to pay attention because they're there, they're relaxed, and it's pertinent to the location they're actually at. And they go, oh, this makes sense. I'm actually looking at the stuff the video is talking about instead of, oh, I already did the agriculture form. I don't want to watch this thing here, honey. Hold my phone. Let me get the kids, right? Like,
Yeah,
let's
you're
be
right.
realistic. Let's be realistic in us as humans, too, of like, how do we deliver? But this is my point of reframing, reworking the issue and making it modern and making it realistic.
That is really a good point. That's an excellent point. And we need to collaborate with people who do that for a profession because that's not my profession. I used to work in advertising in New York City, so I
Oh,
get it.
cool.
But I'm not there. And definitely there are people now that know how to do that. And we should be targeting them.
Correct. And there's a reason why people pay people to do marketing and advertising. Why? Because it works. It gets people to go do something, right? Like go buy
Correct.
a product or whatever. There's a reason a Super Bowl commercial costs millions of dollars for 30 seconds because someone's going to go out and buy a bag of chips.
Right.
Why can't we meet somewhere in the middle with something that's killing people and it's 100% preventable, let alone the pediatric age groups and kids, right? Like, this is what's mind-blowing to me, that as a culture, there's so much money that there's available for these other things to buy a product or something. And until it affects you, no one really cares, you know, unfortunately. So that's my challenge, is like, let's find those people that do care, that have the resources, but then it has to be also delivered appropriately with the subject matter. Like I said, that's where I go into the part where us as let's call it teachers, have to truly understand the subject to deliver it appropriately too, in a marketing fashion, if you will. And you got to make it fun and exciting. Now, how do you make drowning fun and exciting for people to pay attention and really be aware of it?
Right.
And once again, I feel like I'm just presenting issues or problems, but this is to get people thinking, to think about how do we approach this. And these are the things with the Lifeguard Project, slowly but surely through different mediums and connections and collaboration, I'm trying to tackle.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think if we just to take small steps, we could do a pilot somewhere, a beach that we
Yes.
think is important, gets a lot of drownings, really difficult. Take that beach and try a program out, which I think it would be great. So if I find somebody, I'm going to let you know. If you find somebody, let me know.
And that's what it's all about, right? Is connecting everyone together. And yeah, sometimes you need that outside resource to go, oh, wait, well, why have you guys been doing it like this? You know, and then you rethink the problem versus, you know, let's say I'm doing something here in California that's, well, this is how we do it here. Well, maybe there's something we can borrow and learn and exchange and collaborate and continuously improve
Yeah, you
across it.
haven't been here to Kauai, as you told me. You've been to
No,
Oahu.
not yet.
Is Oahu was your first time when you went to do that interview?
No, I've been several times,
Okay.
yeah, but yeah, none of the other islands, unfortunately.
Right. So, what you're saying is storytelling, and I think that really works. And everybody's talking that storytelling helps people listen to what the issues are. So, let's talk about Red Isn't Armor. Tell me why you wrote this, because you're amazing. You have this podcast, you do this great interviewing, you've been a lifeguard, you're an air medic, you're like this serious guy that does all this work. And then you're writing about this, and this was so well done. So tell our
Thank you.
listeners about it.
Thank you for all the compliments. People are going to think I'm paying you to
Oh, come on.
give me compliments on
No.
my. No, that's just it. Like I was saying, the multifaceted issues that we're talking about, we have to hit from all angles and all mediums. The Red Isn't Armor is the little short kind of, yeah, I mean, you could call it like a short essay that I did, which kind of talks about the Ben Carlson story, and then I tie it into like lifeguard mental health, but all the stuff that we've already been talking about, where, you know, lifeguards on their first day might do CPR. They're not considered first responders in a lot of different places. The water rescue aspect that they're tasked with doing is really highly specific and very difficult to do. And so we expect a 16-year-old kid in some places to affect these things like it's nothing, go back home and pretend like nothing happened. You know, these things really do affect people. And so now, if you don't have all these parameters in place, just like we were talking about drowning issue, let's talk about the structures in place for lifeguards as employees, and realizing and broadening our awareness for the mental health side of things. When I look at some of these young motivated kids that, hey, yeah, you saw a dead body at work today, you know, like that's not the same as going and spilling a coffee at Starbucks, but they're paying less for that. And no amount of money is going to change it. But I think people need to understand where, if, you know, you're going to a lifeguard that's worked for 10, 20, 30 years, someone that's done it as a career, a lot of times they're actually, had Mark Cunningham on the podcast, right? And he talks about it at dinner parties. He goes, you know, people go, oh, you're just a lifeguard. Like, okay. He goes, no, like, you don't understand the depth and the specific skill set and the value that that profession not only provides to the public, but to oneself as well. And also the burden it brings too of keeping thousands of people safe at the beach. And so the idea there with that red isn't armor means just because I've got the red trunks on and you're looking at someone sitting in the tower or doing this, you know, sexy heroic job, which gets portrayed in you know Baywatch and certain shows, like it's this great thing. It doesn't have the foundation for the mental health side and the things that lifeguards go through. And I can name a bunch of lifeguards that have had rescues where they quit afterwards or they never came back to it because the support system wasn't there. So, as another option of storytelling and media and photos and Instagram and podcasts and all this stuff, like someone might go read the essay, someone might go see a photo on Instagram. Someone might see a video, public safety video on a plane. Someone might go listen to the podcast while they're at work or on the road somewhere. My goal is with the Lifeguard Project to have a well-rounded place where if we can put, you know, someone's going to be a better writer than I am or a better videographer or a whatever. Hey, I want the Lifeguard Project to be a place where if we put all those stories and those things into the same area, our voice is louder, our voice is stronger because we go, hey, go to the Lifeguard Project and check out the essays. I've had other lifeguards submitting the catchphrase I have, and I'm digressing a little bit here from
Yeah.
the essay, but people can go and read the essay if they want. You know, they can look it up and Google it. But my catchphrase is buy lifeguards for life. And so when lifeguards are the ones that are keeping this project, alive, and lifeguards are ones that are also on the side doing a bunch of incredible stuff, traveling the world. They're writers, they're vagabonds, they're living in vans just so they could lifeguard somewhere. They are, you know, doing all sorts of creative things as well. And I want to put all that together and facilitate that. So, in my own way, I'm trying to emulate those things where we can write about it, we can do a photo, we can do a video, and attack the issue. A multifaceted issue with a multifaceted approach.
I think it's excellent. And the reason I know about you is because the lifeguards here have told me about you. You've got to get him
That's
on.
awesome.
We think he is rad, as they said. And
Yeah,
that's really important to have a voice. And you're a great voice for the lifeguards. Everybody
well,
should know.
the voice is coming from the lifeguards, right?
Right.
I'm not the only voice. I'm just trying to create a place where we can all put our voices together.
Yes.
And those voices that say something, you know, better than I do, I'm gonna amplify that one however I can, right? Like that's the whole point is we're all in this together. Whether you're a lifeguard in Hawaii, California, East Coast, or you know, you guys have the Okinawa exchange is about to
Right.
happen down there with those guards. Pulling an unconscious body out of the water feels the same. Doing CPR on someone feels the same. So us lifeguards, we all resonate with each other and we understand each other. If we could all put our voices in the same place, we can amplify them to get the public and the broader world to understand each other and do lifeguarding in a different way. I mean, lifeguarding is traditionally preventative, right? Is the idea. And so, if we can put those stories out there to prevent these things by getting people ahead of getting in trouble in the water, that's still another way of lifeguarding, right? In a way.
It is.
So.
That's so well said, Drasko. For people listening, we've been talking to Drasko Bogdanovic, who runs the Lifeguard Project. And if you want to know more about his work, it's at thelifeguardproject.org. And we've talked about his work as a videographer, as a podcaster, interviewer for the lifeguards, and as a writer. He wrote Red Isn't Armor. It's a great piece. The lifeguards here talk about him all the time, and I know you're going to do more lifeguard work and maybe some guards from Kauai, because we've had some serious rescues here of a lifeguard that got attacked by a shark, and two lifeguards saved his life by doing some tremendous work. And that is pretty harrowing, and it happened only a couple of months ago. So, finish this, I'd like to say that I have Tyler Anderson coming on. He's somebody you mentioned about mental health, and mental health is very important. He's got a survey, an international survey, that he's hoping that people, guards, will fill out that have had any trauma. And so I'm putting that forth to Kalani Vieira to put forth to the Hawaii lifeguards to make sure they get enough data so they can talk about it internationally when they have the next World Drowning Prevention Conference. And that speaks to first responder work also.
Absolutely.
So, is there anything else you'd like to see? What are you up to? Because I know you're busy. You're constantly, besides doing this, you're an air medic. Just tell me what that entails. I gotta know.
Well, the way it works here, just a flight paramedic, and I work with a flight nurse, and just a critical care helicopter. So we do anywhere from 911 calls to interfacility transfers. When someone's calling a helicopter, it's usually not because they're doing well. So we get to have a pretty expanded scope of skill set that we can do, as far as additional stuff that someone on an ambulance isn't allowed to do. So between myself and the nurse, it gives us a huge, basically it's like a flying ICU. Between the procedures we're allowed to do and the equipment we have on board, we bring the ICU to the scene, and we're able to do some pretty incredible life-saving procedures. That's my day job, right? So that's also like everything we were talking about. It goes hand in hand, but I can't be a lifeguard full time, and the lifeguard project itself is not a full-time vocation. All this stuff is just out of passion for most people, out of passion, and hoping to put their drop in the bucket on this global issue. But I think that's where, just tying together everything that we've been talking about, is that's what it requires. And that's what I'm realizing, is you have to understand all aspects of it. And I'm grateful that I've gotten the experience I have, which started with lifeguarding, that brought me to this point, to then be able to articulate some of my creative side and hopefully collaborate with people to put it all together. So that way you can talk the talk from a clinical, physiological standpoint about drowning, all the way to, articulating to a videographer where he needs to aim the he or she needs to aim the camera to do a public safety video. And it's hard, right? And so that's where I find myself in a place where all those things have kind of come together. And you asked what I'm up to next. I actually have we were talking about Justin Semsra and all that stuff. He helped me do an actionable, like we were talking about earlier. We just drafted up a protocol for the local county where I work in, here in San Luis Obispo County in California, for drowning. They're also simultaneously giving a new supraglottic airway capability to EMTs, meaning they can put airways in all the way down to the pediatric level. So talk about something that's an actionable. Right now, you're giving the local first responders a tool that reverses hypoxia in the age group where drowning is affected most and hypoxia is affected most. And so we're doing a big event in May out here that's going to deliver CEs, continuing education units, to lifeguards, EMTs, paramedics, and nurses. Justin Semstrout's going to do a talk. I'm going to have some real actionable high fidelity mannequins. We're going to do scenarios on the beaches, but then we're also going to play the Ben Carlson film at the end of the day there, and have it be a social and a community-based event too. So it kind of ties all this stuff together that we've been talking about, which is, how do you get the message out there? How do you make it fun? How do you get people motivated and passionate? Oh, and by the way, you walk away with actual medical skill set and improvement of your skills, with new protocols, not just for the county, but for yourself and stuff. So that's taken up a lot of my time, and but I think it's meaningful, and I think it'll be people are gonna see, kind of trying to set the pace for what we can do, that it can be fun, it can be modernized, and it can be actionable. And we have to build that foundation for people to be able to do stuff like that.
That sounds like a great event. So I want to hear about that after it happens.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'm putting the stuff together right now, so hopefully by the time this recording goes up, it'll be somewhere that people can look it up. But that's what I've been working on, just
And then
to
I'll tell you what happens with our rip current demonstration to see how that goes here as an educational piece,
That's
right?
very exciting. Yeah. All like baby steps, right? We just do
Yeah.
our piece, what we can locally, and then that stuff's just gonna expand. And yeah, thanks for, having for those of the people that don't know, you've been staying on me and my elusive schedule. And so thanks for your passion, and you're clearly motivated on combining everyone together and putting these interviews together. As someone that does it on my end here, I know how much work that takes. So I really appreciate you taking the time and having me on, and hope it's valuable for people who are listening.
I think it's very valuable, and the lifeguards are going to be happy. And we stream this on KKCR worldwide, so we may be a grass shack in the jungle, but we do have a following.
Sure. That's
And
yeah.
you've done a tremendous job, and your work, because you're also a lifeguard, means so much more, right? And you're able to understand and articulate and to interview people because you have that background. So I want to leave our listeners with saying that Drasko is with the lifeguardproject.org, and I encourage everybody to take a look at that through his visual storytelling, podcasting, and partnerships with ocean safety leaders across the world. Drasko Bogdanovic and the Lifeguard Project have become a catalyst for global shift in how communities understand, value, and support their lifeguards. And I look forward to more work from you, Drasko, and I hope we can connect again. And I will hunt you down later on in the year.
No, this is just the beginning. It's yeah, and I'm looking forward to, the Lifeguard Project is it can be taken anywhere and tell these stories. It's just a matter of me as I'm growing and expanding, and I'm looking at, Hawaii is such a epicenter for all of the issues we're talking about, as far as some of the most beautiful beaches. You've got tourists from around. I mean, it's what an insane option for lifeguards and visitors alike to culminate in one place where it's so vital that the infrastructure and stuff is in place there, because that's what people are coming there to do. They're coming to the water, so I look forward. This is definitely just the beginning. I look forward to being able to bring the Lifeguard Project out there and start telling some of these stories and doing my thing and
That would be great.
around there. So
We
that's
should figure out
it's on the
how.
way. It's just a matter of time. We all got day jobs and trying to do this stuff. So I'm looking forward to it for sure. But yeah, anyone can look up the Lifeguard Project. Just look up the Lifeguard Project on any YouTube, social media, all that stuff. It should pop up. And yeah, like I tell everyone, I mean, this is by Lifeguards for Life. If you have an idea or something you want to share, something you think, like I said, you jotted an essay down on a napkin while you were traveling, and you think it's a fun poem to put out about lifeguarding, like, whatever it is, just send it to me, message me on Instagram, or got my email on there and stuff. And you just never know when that might be the next thing that someone, like this essay that's how we found each other, right? So that's the whole point. Just hopefully people know that if you're a lifeguard, you're automatically part of the Lifeguard Project. Just hit me up, send something my way, and let's work and collaborate, just like this interview.
Thank you, Drasko. Well said. I can't wait to collaborate more with you. And red isn't armor. So have a great day. Thank you for taking the time on your Saturday. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Margaret. Thanks for
We'll
having
talk
me.
soon.